Documentary filmmaker Stephen Marshall followed two religious fundamentalists around for 4 years. One is a Christian missionary from Missouri, and the other is a Muslim convert from Ireland who lives in London. Although the men come from different religious backgrounds, they share a belief that an apocalypse is inevitable. Mr. Marshall's camera took him from the U.S. Bible Belt in London, England, to visits with an influential sheikh in Lebanon and to a search for the Taliban in Pakistan. Holy Wars is playing at the IFC Center beginning tomorrow and running through the 12th. I'm very pleased that it brings Stephen Marshall to our show today. Hello.
Thanks, Leonard.
Was there a specific event that led you to make a film about religious fundamentalism?
Yeah, I mean, I actually was in Iraq at the end of, or just after the invasion by the U.S. forces, and I was interviewing Iraqis in the southern part in Nasiriya, and I was talking to them about this idea of the new freedom and capitalism, and while they were very thankful for U.S. forces, they also expressed a real desire to have Sharia law in the region, and that's when I first came up against this idea that there were two competing systems and possibly, you know, animosity ones.
Well, what do you do when you're looking for people to make a film about? You say, hey, do you know somebody who is an extreme fundamentalist that I can make a movie about?
Well, in the one case, Colin Kelly, who's an Irish convert, he was very well known in London. We just couldn't get access to him. That was our challenge there. But in the case
of— Was he suspicious of you?
Very suspicious. I mean, especially that time because they were under the investigation by MI5 and the British authorities. So he really, you know, very suspicious. But Aaron Taylor, the missionary, every missionary organization that we talked to in the United States refused our demands, our requests. Aaron happened to pop out after we placed an internet ad, and he was perfect because he actually was traveling to Pakistan to convert them there.
So he wasn't your first choice, but he turned out to be a good choice.
A very good choice.
Do you think that they were on similar quests?
I think initially they were. They both, you know, find a sort of best case scenario in this idea of apocalypse. But eventually, I think Aaron, when he meets Khalid, which is actually part of the story, was forced to really reconsider some of his basic values.
Well, they have a meeting. I don't want to reveal too much, but they have a meeting in which they debate their ideas. And it's obvious that Aaron is actually listening to Khalid. Khalid is so set in his ideas and so sure of his superiority, his mental superiority, that he doesn't bother to listen. He just seems to want to win. But you get the sense that a lot of the people you're talking about here only want to win. They don't care what anybody else says.
Well, that's right. The essence of the term fundamentalist is a person who believes that their book is the word of God. And if you actually believe that, then there is no gray area. It's a zero-sum game. And what's interesting about Khalid's case is his point is, look, our land is under occupation. We're under attack. When you're in that position, there's no room to hedge. You have to be on the offense. And in some ways, I actually understand where he's coming from.
Well, Aaron is, he makes a living as a missionary. But Khalid is a scientist, isn't he? He's a doctor?
He was a nurse. He was a nurse in Britain, but then he lost that job. And ironically, he's actually on the dole while he was actually working. That's the unemployment insurance while he was doing most of his radical actions.
He was born a Catholic?
He was born a Catholic in Ireland.
What led to his conversion?
He was actually arrested in Saudi Arabia where he was working as a nurse because he was running basically an illegal liquor operation there. They arrested him. He went to jail and a man approached him while he was in prison, gave him the Quran, and Khalid says that he saw the light.
Well, many people convert, but few become as committed as Khalid. He did change his name. What was his original name?
Terence Kelly.
How did he explain the events of September 11th to you?
Well, he talked about them as actually a defensive action. He talked about them as actually the result of accumulation of aggressions overseas by America and definitely their allies against Muslim lands. And he most specifically targeted or talked about the deaths of up to possibly a million Iraqis in the wake of the sanctions imposed by America. And when you hear him talk about this, he gets very passionate and he kind of moves away from that irrational sort of offensiveness and becomes quite passionate.
Well, you have the feeling he's quite a confrontational person, and I was wondering what he saw his role as. Was he trying to convert people, convince them of the rightness of his ideas, or just to to reveal how angry he is at the situation in England?
Well, that's a great question. I think initially it starts off with, call it as being one of conversion, one of like trying to actually move people to a place of a better understanding of God. And he often tried to convert me. We joked that it was called, my trips were called the conversion excursions because I couldn't ever leave one without a final attempt to convert me. But throughout the 3 years I was with him, it slowly moved from that to a desire to actually join the militants. And that is something you see in the film. Why does that happen? And
does he see a spectrum in Islam with radicals on one side and moderates on the other?
No. For Khalid, there's only one type of Islam, and that's the truly observant Muslim. And for him, if you actually extricate the idea of jihad from Islam, then you actually move yourself outside of the fold of Islam.
And he would like to see Sharia law imposed on everyone, whether they're Muslims or not?
Very much so.
On the other hand, Aaron's family seems to think that see the United States as a Christian country, not as a secular country, and they want to see Christianity imposed on everyone. And he's out there as a missionary going to countries where there are a lot of Muslims, trying to convert them to his brand of evangelical Christianity.
Well, that's right. For them, you know, when they read the Bible, they believe, again, it's God's word. They believe the world will become Christian before in what we call the end times. But what's interesting is that, you know, we actually interviewed Sam Harris, the well-known author for this film, and he talks about the fact that 44% of Americans actually believe that Jesus will come back in their lifetime. So Aaron's family, though they're sort of in the Bible Belt, they actually are part of a larger group of people, larger than you would think.
Well, they are looking forward to the end times.
Very much so.
The destruction of the world.
The destruction of the world and the building of a new one. For many people in the Bible Belt, you know, they've lost their jobs. I mean, Mr. Taylor himself lost his job in the auto industry. He now has a small upholstery business in his basement. That's very much the kind of perfect candidate for this fundamentalism who they really just, they've lost all sense of value in this current paradigm.
My guest is Stephen Marshall, whose film Holy Wars is going to open at the IFC Center tomorrow and run through the 12th. How was he affected by the events of September 11th?
He had just emerged from Bible school, and he saw that as a rallying cry for a spiritual war against Islam. So where Khalid often sees it more as a militarized battle, Aaron saw his calling as one of going out and risking his life in countries like Pakistan and Afghanistan to convert Muslims. And I actually was literally with him at different times in Pakistan with armed gunmen protecting him from Islamist assassins. So, I mean, he's really very serious about what he's talking about.
Well, Muslims, especially the more fervent Muslims, see any attempt to convert one of the worst crimes you can commit.
Definitely. And they also see, well, worse than that is actually the crime of converting yourself. So if a Muslim converts to Christianity, they can be put to death under the strictest codes of Sharia law. But, of course, the converter is also a party to that crime.
Does Aaron believe that God ordered the events of September 11th?
Actually, Aaron's mentor, who funds a lot of his trips, definitely believes that. He believes that 9/11 was actually created by God to facilitate the word of God to move out from America into the Middle East under protection of the armies.
And he wrote in his church bulletin, "Now's the time for war."
He did. And that was, I mean, for Aaron, I have to be clear, that was a spiritual war. But he obviously saw what was happening with the militarized aspect of it as hand in hand with the missionaries. Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, was known for actually going over to Iraq and trying to hand out Bibles and was recently barred from entering the Pentagon because of his fervent Christian views.
How do the Christians and Muslims that you talk to differ in their beliefs about the end of the world?
Well, it's actually very subtle. What's interesting is probably actually what they share in common. Both Christians and Muslims believe that Jesus will return. In the Muslim case, he'll be joined by someone called the Mahdi, who will help him fight Satan. But in both cases, Jesus will then declare to his followers that either Christianity or Islam is the true religion of God. So they actually share more than they actually differentiate in.
Aaron's father says the only problem with the Muslims is that they chose the wrong prophet. But Muslims do believe in Jesus as one of the prophets, don't they?
They believe in all the prophets up to Muhammad. They believe that the Christians have gotten it wrong. They've misconstrued the words of God himself to make sure that their prophet ended up being the primary one. And they see Muhammad as the true and final prophet who brought a new system of which Sharia law is meant to be the dominant one in the world.
What was Khalid's involvement in the British Islamist organization Al-Mahajirun?
He was Al-Muhajirin is one of the best known and most controversial of groups.
It's been disbanded, hasn't it?
They were disbanded after the 7/7 bombings because they were believed to be associated with it. Their sheikh Omar Bakri, who we actually went to visit in Lebanon, was basically kicked out of the country. And he came back from Saudi Arabia very radicalized. He wanted to find a group who really spoke that strong, dominant Saudi message, the Wahhabist message, they might say. And he joined them, and he quickly became one of the most radical members of the group.
So he goes to Lebanon to seek the advice of Sheikh Omar Bakri. And what did the sheikh tell him?
Well, Bakri was setting up a school of Sharia in Lebanon, and for Khalid, who was under very much probably about to be arrested in the UK, he saw it as a great nirvana for himself. But the sheikh tells him, look, we need you to be back in London where the brothers are all in prison. You have had experience with us, our exiled spiritual leaders. You have to go back. But it's a very sad moment for Khalid.
Aaron, as you said, goes to Pakistan to evangelize. He says in the film, Jesus didn't say, go into all the world where it's safe to preach the gospel. He said, go into all the world. But there are almost 3 million Christians in Pakistan, aren't there?
Yeah, I think that's.
Do they all live in danger?
I don't know if it's 3 million, but that's probably a good number. They live in squalor for sure. I mean, we visited various areas, and they are just basically seen as heathen, and they don't have representation in the parliament except for they have one member. So you know, it's like a political marginalization.
But Aaron also sees this as an economic thing. He says that Christianity is good for the economies of countries like Pakistan.
They believe that God blesses those countries with Christianity as their religion. And so, of course, this refutes the entire history of economic reality.
You mentioned earlier that you put them together. Had you been talking about each of them with the other during the time you were filming this?
Well, when we first finished the first edit of the film, I went around the world. I was with various people. We ended up with a bunch of people just yelling at the camera. There was no exchange and no dialogue. And when I actually started to talk to Aaron about Khalid, ironically, on his own, he saw Khalid on Aaron Anderson's Cooper 360, and he was terrified. And so he wouldn't go he was like, I won't meet him. But then he went for a trip to Brazil to give some kind of healing, and a man came up to him and said, you should go to Britain. You'll have some great victory. So Aaron returned and gave me a call, and we all flew over to London, and there he met Khalid.
Well, did either of them feel that they had a victory after their debate?
Khalid certainly did. He felt that he was dominant, that he sort of demolished Aaron.
He just talked over Aaron.
He did. And Aaron fared so badly that he begged me really if we could do it again. So the next day we met in the same warehouse and went at it again, and it was just as bad. So I think Aaron walked away realizing that, you know, he had a good understanding of theology, but he had no understanding of sociopolitics. And that's where, of course, most Muslims are much more dominant because they live in a much more wider world.
And he comes back home, changed to some degree. He has listened to Khalid's arguments, and although he's not going to convert to Islam, he understands to some degree why Khalid feels the way he did. His family's upset that he's been swayed.
Oh, they're more than upset. I mean, his father was shocked. One of the great things about his family is they always were willing on camera just to play out their parts. They weren't afraid that, and so you see it's quite an intense scene where his father really delivers the lines of the Bible Belt. He says, we are God's country. This is the end times. The Muslims are the enemy. And this is what we heard this echoed in Newt Gingrich's recent speech at the American Enterprise Institute, where he basically said that Muslims, if they believe in Sharia law, they're the enemy of America, and they have to be treated as militants.
So has Aaron adjusted his sense of mission?
He definitely has. I don't want to give away too much of the film, but Aaron is a new person today. He's an object lesson in transformation. And I think also he's a true Christian in many ways because he went back to the basic teachings of Jesus, which I think all of us can relate to, which is treat your neighbor as you teach yourself and don't judge others until you judge yourself.
Khalid decided to go join the Taliban.
He did.
Has he been affected by the fact that so many of the things that he wants to do haven't turned out well?
No, Khalid's like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps on pumping. He actually was forced out of Pakistan after a very controversial interview, which he did there, returned to Ireland, basically the only country he can go to anymore. And he's now started—
Because if he goes to England, he'll be arrested?
That's the fear. And in fact, I know that the Secret Service in Ireland has tried to get him back to England for that reason. But recently he wrote an email to me saying that he'd actually been beaten up by the police and it's been quite tough for him there.
Well, why would he be arrested? I didn't get the impression, no matter how fervent he was, that he actually had been involved in any bombing plots or anything like that.
Well, that's the thing. And this is one of the things that I really was shocked by. In England, it isn't the laws that were created in the wake of 7/7, that's the bombings in the tube there. You don't have to be involved in violence to be arrested. If you are on the street corner with a placard yelling about jihad, you can be arrested and sentenced up to 6 years in prison for propagating or inciting murder. And about four of his best friends and groups in the group Al-Muhajirun were actually sentenced to that prison sentence. So for Khalid to go back, it's actually very real.
Have you shown this film to Christian and Muslim audiences?
I have.
And what kinds of responses have you gotten?
Well, liberal Christians love the film because it shows, I think it gets, their man ends up in the right part of the spectrum. I think a lot of conservative Christians feel Aaron is basically a weak-minded, just not, you know, obviously not a real Christian.
He should have stood up to Khalid.
Sure, yeah, and I often say to them, but you know, if he had done that, we wouldn't have had a film, and B, this is the kind of thing we want to see in people, is the self-questioning. Muslims, I think, fear that here's another image of another Islamic person with a gun in their hand running off to join the Taliban. And I often say, let's not see it that way. Let's look at it as two individuals. This is about anthropology. We as Americans, even liberals, have to question ourselves, and that's what the thing this is about.
Well, they may be individuals, but they are not alone in the way they see the world. And it's interesting to hear them explain themselves. I suspect that many people watching this film will not be surprised by what they're hearing.
No, I don't think so. I mean, and even, you know, this, I started making this film in 2006 when the Bush paradigm was just ending. So, and then when Obama came in, it almost seemed like we weren't going to finish this and make it because there was no reason for it to be here. But just 2 years after that, we come back to a time when we're burning Qurans, obviously the mosque at Ground Zero it's very much up for us. And I think we have to really consider the fact that there are billions of Muslims in the world and we've got to share this planet with them. And whether we're Christians or liberals or whatever we are, we have different ways of seeing it.
I was surprised by how the world was seen totally as either Christians or Muslims. No mention of Buddhists, no mentions of Jews, no mentions of Taoists, whatever. You were either one or the other.
That's it. It's black or white.
I want to thank you so much for being with us, Stephen Marshall. His film Holy Wars is playing at the IFC Center beginning tomorrow and running through the 12th. And if you want information about tickets and showtimes, you can go to our show page at wnyc.org. Thanks again.
Thank you, Leonard.